Good morning and happy 4th of July.
Good morning.
You tried. Vinny, you want to try a mic?
Yeah.
I think it'll vibrate. I'll give it a try.
Okay, I'm going to use this. Can you hear me better?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, welcome. Glad to have you here. It's Communion Sunday. Great day for Communion Sunday. Great day to worship outside on the 4th of July. Let's see. The announcements are, we have Bible study on Sunday at 9, and we have Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7, preceded by half an hour of prayer at 6:30. Farmers Market, of course, is from 8 to 12 every Saturday. And in that vein, if any of you would like to bake, any of the women would like to bake, we do have some mixes over here for breads. Please help yourself, take them, and then just bake them up and bring them to us on Saturday morning. Let's see. The potluck and hymn sing is going to be July 31st. Bring your best dish and your friends. Your best friends and your dish. Anyone else have any announcements? Oh, we will be having our annual meeting, so if you're a committee chair, please work on getting your reports done. And we don't have a date yet for the meeting, but it'll be coming up either during this month or certainly the beginning of August. Anybody else for announcements? Gail?
The Daniel Plan in honor of Independence Day will probably go Tuesday night, so let me know if that's not a good day for you, but we'll keep it on.
So if you're coming to the Daniel Plan on Mondays, this week it'll be on Tuesdays if that works for most of you.
I thought you said you were going to skip a week, no?
Prayer requests. Prayers for Bob and Judy and Alma and Charlie. Prayers for all the folks that are battling cancer. Jenna, who is a friend of Howard and Susan White. My sister Ruth, who is on a new medication, so hopefully it gives her some strength. I don't know who that is. Charlie Roberts, Rich's daughter-in-law, Roger Kerboy, Bob Wellner, Karen's friend Dee and her husband, and all of our cancer warriors. Continued prayers for Jacob, baby Luke, Angelica Ward, and Alexis, as well as all of our children and grandchildren that need healing and everyone who treats them. My husband Rick, he's coming along. He had his stitches removed this week, and all his sores are healing, so he's on his way. He's on his way. Thank you for prayers. For Karen and her stomach issues, Faith and her hip, and Karen's mother, Virginia, Colt Colville, Jackie, and her foot. It's coming along though, Jackie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness. For George Curry and pastor's daughter-in-law, Andrea's mother, as they seek to find her medical problem. Mm-hmm. Lisa's mother still has issues. Lisa's here, I saw her. Lisa, how's your mother doing?
Actually, thanks for prayers answered. She is not only back, I think she's actually better than we expected, so much thanks.
Praise God.
Amen.
God is good. For Rich Learned, I don't think he's here yet. Paul Lavoie, who's coming along good, huh, Paul?
Yep.
And Priscilla Varney, that's Alma's sister. Anybody else would have any prayer requests?
Can I ask prayers for my Uncle Bill Chevalier?
Okay.
He's got pneumonia and a lot of very threatening organ malfunctions.
Anyone else? No? Yeah, Charlie?
Pray for us. We're having our first overnight at our Hidden Acres. Pray for the community around us.
Be brave, little soldier.
I think the bear will come through that night probably. Right?
He'll visit his new neighbors.
That's right.
Okay, well, I guess if that's it, we can stand for the call to worship. Are we going to start off with that?
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm not sure I really need this, but George, can you hear me, George? Barb can hear me. Barb's waving.
I wasn't waving at you. There's an echo.
I know you weren't waving at me.
I think we're in trouble.
I know there's an echo, but...
Hi, how are you?
Hey, George, can you hear me just as well without this?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Good. All right, yeah, because there is an echo in there, and I echo enough inside my head already. I want to welcome you. It's 4th of July.
Amen.
It's one of those celebration days that I really enjoy. It's an opportunity to share the message of America with your children, your grandchildren, celebrate with friends and family, and come together knowing that we are one nation under God.
Amen.
That we are a nation that's led for a lot of years, that we continue to lead, and it's only through the grace of God that we continue. We are a faithful nation founded by folks of religious background. And John Adams, when he signed the Declaration of Independence, he said, "Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence. And if God wills it, I'm ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom." That was the kind of patriotism and belief in God that made the nation what it is today.
Yeah.
A lot of our forefathers and a lot of our service members continue to serve and put themselves in harm's way. If you watched our airports, and Bridget, by the way, you need to introduce your boyfriend. That's Chris. Make sure you give Chris a hug. He and Bridget are going to get to see a lot of airports. They're going on tour of Europe.
All right.
And when you travel, you see a lot of protection there that's necessary today. Because freedom and security is not free.
That's right.
It requires sacrifice. It requires folks that step out and purposely go into harm's way.
Yep.
And we're blessed to be that nation that leads the way. So, as we prepare for service today, Alexis, if you'd come down front. Turn around. Charlie, if you'd lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You turn in your hymnals to 415. 415, it's God who holds the nation in the palm of his hand. 415. Go put it back down. Thank you. It's broken into paragraphs. So if you're on Charlie's side over here, you're going to be the lead paragraph. Then you folks will read the second. We'll go back and forth. But the last paragraph we'll read all together. So you folks written the first paragraph reading, It is God
who holds the nations in the hollow of his hand. It is God whose light is shining in the darkness of the land. It is God who builds a city on the rock and not on sand. The living God be praised.
It is God whose purpose summons us
to use his present power, who recalls us to our senses when the nation's life turns to power, and in the discipline of freedom we shall know his saving power. The living God be praised.
When a thankful nation, looking back, has cause to celebrate those who win our admiration by their service to the state, when self-giving is a measure of the greatness of the great, the living God be praised.
Together,
God reminds us every sunrise that the world is ours on lease. For the sake of life tomorrow, may our love for it increase. May it all be lived together
share his riches, be at peace. The living God be praised. Amen.
Join with me in prayer. Father, as we're outside in your cathedral, as we gather together on this day, we're thankful, Father, that you've blessed us. Blessed us with a nation that allows us to assemble openly and freely. A nation that allows us to worship in the place of our choice, Father. And that we can be outside and share our fellowship with all that would come in. Amen. We ask, Father, that this day and every day you bless us, that you lift us up, that you help us be a messenger for you, Lord, that our walk, our talk, and the way that we conduct our business would draw others to follow us to you so that none would be left behind. We thank you this day, Father, for all of our friends and family that are gathered and all that will gather. We're thankful for all the little churches that are gathered together today to worship you. As we go forward, Father, help us to remember that it's only through your grace that we have the liberty and the freedom and the opportunity that we have each day. And it's only through your Son's sacrifice, Father, that we have the gift of eternal life, where we can go home to be with you forever and ever. Amen. Now, Father, as we prepare for worship, as we prepare to be locked in, renewed, lifted up, and regenerated, and motivated, and healed, we come together in the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Continue service with 423, the Star Spangled Banner. 423. Hey, Edward, your water.
Through the perilous fire.
them.
Amen. You may be seated. Every week, the ushers come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings, and we share from our abundance. Part of the sermon today, I'm going to talk about a gentleman named Patrick Henry. You talk about, you know, read about Patrick Henry in history, and you hear about what a great leader he was. But on his deathbed, Patrick Henry said to the doctor, "Doctor, I wish you to observe how real and beneficial religion of Christ is to a man who's about to die. I am much consoled on reflecting of the religion of Christ, who since his first appearance in the world has been attacked by all the wits and philosophers and wise ones, aided by every power of man, and yet Christ triumphs over all of them." When Patrick Henry died, he passed away, and in his obituary, he writes, "All the inheritance I can give you, I've shared. But the best inheritance I can give to my dear family is the religion of Christ. One will make them rich indeed." Yeah. We are blessed and blessed mightily. As the ushers come forward, share from your abundance.
Thank you.
Father, we come and we give you a small portion of what you've given us. We return to you, Father, just a small part to be utilized in your service to help to spread the message and to glorify you. We ask, Father, that you continue to bless us and bless our nation as we move forward each day, that we move forward doing your work. We pray that these gifts will help us expand our boundaries, that we'll reach out and do more work and enroll more soldiers into your army, God, for we want no one left behind. We ask you bless these gifts as well as the giver. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Yeah.
Go ahead, you guys turn around for a minute. Stay right there. Yep. It's an amazing thing occurs. Hey, Keller, stand up for just a second. Who else have I got floating around out here? You got Star over here. You can stand up. Yep. Put her on the bench so she can. It's amazing. Folks come around, and you know, yesterday we had farmer's market. My granddaughter stopped, and you know, folks said to me, wow, your granddaughters are getting big. When these two came up front, I thought to myself, wow, they're getting bigger, or I'm shrinking. That's good to see y'all. Keller, nice haircut too, by the way, brother. You're all looking good. But it's always a pleasure to have our young folks here to share in the service. They bring to every service the expectation of hope eternal. They bring enthusiasm, and they're just good leadership models for the rest of us older folks.
Amen.
And with that in mind, all the kids can come down front, and Mrs. Kibbe will take control.
Come on down.
Come on down.
Have you ever had somebody tell you something that's kind of silly so they could try to get you to do something they wanted you to do? What kind of, give me an example. My dad used to say things like, if you eat your vegetables, you're going to get hair on your chest.
Uh-oh.
I think that really works.
Yep. Good for me.
Or if you don't eat your vegetables, you're going to look like a slug. Think that's true?
Work for me.
Now, but my dad wanted me to be so grossed out at the thought of looking like a slug that I would eat my vegetables, right? There are times we do stuff like that because we want people to do what we want them to do. There are things in life, like eating vegetables, that are really important. Could you live without vegetables?
No.
Not very well. You wouldn't live very long. You'd get sick very quickly. Could you live not knowing math?
No.
You really couldn't. You're going to learn math one way or another, either in school or through life. Like, it's really important that you have to know that if you... Okay. Math is multiplication and addition and subtraction, right? So if you never learned anything about math, you would know that if you needed two sticks, all you have to do is break them and you could get two sticks. That's something you have to know because your life could depend on maybe if you fell and broke your leg, someone had told you if you took two sticks and you put them on either side, bigger sticks. I put them on either side and wrapped it around your leg, you could keep your leg stiff until you could get to a doctor. That's important to know, right? If you need shelter, you know where to look for shelter. There are some things that you absolutely have to know. The things in the Bible are not those things like the silly things like, if you don't eat your vegetables, you're going to look like a slug. That's not true. You don't really look like a slug. But sometimes your parents tell you things, and you think, oh, they're just telling me that just because they want me to eat my vegetables. I don't really have to eat vegetables. They're really not that all that important. They'll say, don't touch this or don't touch that. And you say, nah, that's not that important. I don't really care. That can't really be true. Nothing bad's going to happen if I do this or that. God does stuff like that all the time in the Bible. He says, don't touch this, don't do that. And we think, oh, nothing bad's really going to happen, right? But God just pours some water into this. What looks to me maybe like, I don't think that's bad powder. You don't really know. But if I just decided to pour
it in the bubble.
I think it's just plain water. Looks like water.
You're not a terrorist, are you?
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no. See, sometimes things happen. People warn us, and we just refuse to listen. No matter how many times they tell us, maybe it's not water. Maybe it's really vinegar. Maybe that's...
It's vinegar.
It's not talking.
What's in that?
When we read God's word, somebody reads it to us. I want you to remember that it's not just stories. God tells us these things for reasons, for our good. And he knows what's going to hurt us. It may take a long time for it to hurt us. Like not eating your vegetables. You could go a long time without eating vegetables before it would start to affect you, but it would eventually affect you. God knew that. God knew that you shouldn't eat certain things. God knew you shouldn't do certain things. You shouldn't steal other people's things. Now, is there a reason for that? Anybody think of a reason why that would be?
Because they might need those things.
They might need those things? What else? What would happen between your relationship with you? If you stole her book, what would happen to that relationship between the two of you?
Trust.
She'd feel really bad. You guys would not have a good friendship. God made us to need each other. So, to trust each other, to need each other, to be there for each other. He created us to need and trust him. So I want, from now on, when you read your Bibles, when somebody reads the Bible to you, don't think of it as like somebody's telling you, well, you gotta eat your vegetables. If you don't eat your vegetables, you're gonna turn into a slug. Think of it as, like that lesson. I didn't listen when they said, it's not water. But something happened, right? An explosion happened. I want you guys to remember the word of God is real, it's important, and it's something that you absolutely have to know, like math, knowing that you're great on something to have, so there's two things. Yes?
If bubbling not up isn't that bad, it would have been worse if you drank it, not
exactly. I should have said that. Thank you very much. Okay, let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us laws and rules. Father, I pray that you would help us to remember, each one of us, always remember that those rules aren't there just for you, so we can pick on us and be good going, but because they're important for us, for our well-being. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name to help us to always remember. Amen.
Yeah.
And you will this day.
Just to Jennyland. So action
point. Continue service with 417. We're going to sing the first verse of 417 and the first verse of 418. That's right. This is a test, Bridget. Now you got paid. 417. Rise if you're able. First verse of 417 and then the first verse of 418.
Land of the pilgrims.
all God's people said?
Amen.
Maybe see. Amen, brother. Oh, look at this. Is this your bug?
Yeah. Oh, hurt him.
I know, I didn't.
I saved him for later.
Be a Buddhist.
Okay, this morning's scripture is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 6 through 14. Right?
Yep.
Reading. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and the depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines, and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. A land, therefore, thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land which is whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest diggeth brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which thou hast given thee.
Amen.
Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, when I commanded thee this day. Least when thou have eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. Mm-hmm. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold have multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart shall be lifted up, and not forget the Lord thy God, who has brought thee out forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Don't stay for just a minute. Flip back over to Deuteronomy. United States of America. Breadbasket of America.
Amen.
That's what they call us. That's what they call us because we are abundantly blessed. And this is God's talking to Moses. He says to Moses, I'm going to give you all this stuff. And that stuff's important. We think about, you know, what's important in life. Lisa, your well wasn't working. What's important in life?
But we've got each other, and we've got a great community.
Yep.
God loves us.
Yep. Now, Lisa called it, that, you know, for years when I lived up in the hills, we had a shallow well. And I'm going up there this afternoon, Charlie. It's up on the hill. And up on the hill this time of year, our wells would get low. And if you don't think water is important, particularly when you got cattle,
amen,
and you're out there drawing, and you know, then you got to go down to the brook and draw the water. You can miss a lot of things. Karen and Art just got water a little while ago down where they're moving. Water's kind of an important thing.
Amen.
But God tells Moses, I'm going to give you all this.
For thy Lord thy God bringeth into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of the valley and the hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranate. A land of olive oil and honey. A land therein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou have eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the land which thou hast given thee.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. Least then that when thou hast eaten and art full, and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks have multiplied, and thy silver and thy gold have multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou not forget the Lord thy God, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for getting my well working, brother.
Go,
man,
prayer.
Amen.
Father, we come together this day and we ask that you come down and put your hands on each one of us.
that you'd lift us up, that you'd open our hearts and minds so we could truly hear your voice and your mission statement, Father. We ask that you open our hearts and eyes to the facts that we are blessed and blessed mightily, that you, Father, have blessed us with an abundance, and that as we move forward, we remember each day just how blessed we are, and we take time to thank you, Father, for reaching out and giving us the opportunity and giving us true freedom, freedom in Christ, freedom to know that we are redeemed.
Amen.
We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Talk about the 4th of July and freedom. My sermon title is Fireworks. We see the fireworks and we associate fireworks and barbecues and this type of thing. But we have fireworks every day. Every day of our lives we have all types of different fireworks that come on. And thank God we got a little bit of rain this week, or the fireworks could have contributed to more fires.
Yeah.
And we're still dry, dry, dry. But as we go out today and we celebrate today and tomorrow and probably part of the week, we need to remember the words that Moses has said when he talked about when you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he's given you.
Mm-hmm.
Each day that you get up, you know, I visit with Jack a lot, and he and his son race, and you know, he talks about, you know, the race and traveling and this type of thing, but he always asks for prayers along the way for safety, that God will keep his hand on him. And it's, I don't know if any of you folks are traveling. I'll be going up to the Berkshires later today. But you know, the folks that are on the road traveling, you know, we need to keep folks like Bridget in our prayers. You know, she's going to be flying and traveling all over the place. And only through grace and God's hand on you that, you know, you're able to move and return, lifted up and renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Henry and our other forefathers, as they drafted the Declaration of Independence, they talk about in God's guidance. They talk about the importance of God being in their thoughts as they wrote. And they knew that other nations had been raised up, but did not stand for a long time, were not successful. And they knew that God had to be included in the founding of our country. And so they used things in the Declaration of Independence, like one nation under God, that to make sure that with the legislators were guided for all time. Patrick Henry was an interesting guy. He led Virginia's military forces. He became their first governor. And he was offered seats in the U.S. Senate and post as an ambassador to Spain and France. And Washington asked him to join his cabinet and become Secretary of State, and later wanted to appoint him as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But he refused all those honors because he wanted to stay home and work with his own folks in Virginia. As I said earlier, of all the things that Patrick Henry had accumulated, and he accumulated a lot of earthly wealth and that type of thing. In his obituary, he writes, "This is all the inheritance I can give to my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them one that will make them rich indeed."
Mm.
We have a lot of things that we work on, retirement plans, and we work on a variety of things. And things that are necessary to survive are important. You need things like water and an adequate amount of food. But we get confused with freedom. We get confused with freedom. You know, it says that we have freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
It does not say we have freedom from religion.
That's right. Amen, brother.
You know, and so we have the freedom to choose the religion that we like, but it doesn't say we have the freedom to choose none. We stand back and we look at this land and our nation, and I'm blessed with kids and grandkids, and they continue to grow. And I try and instill in them the values of a Christian. I try and instill in them the values that make our nation great. And I also try to instill in them that it's not an entitlement, that they're not entitled. that they are blessed and gifted with the right to choose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they have a nation that allows them to assemble and be anything that they want to be, but they need to want to be something. They need to go forward and take their place. They need to stand up and say, this is what we stand for. They need to be able to make the choices to pick a career that will not only provide them an income, but provide them service where they serve and get something back more than a paycheck. When you talk about freedom, we get confused sometimes along the way. There's another word for freedom. It's called redemption. Redemption means to be set free. To be set free. And that's what we are. We are redeemed and set free from whatever the world gives us, we can handle because we don't walk it alone. We're set free because we know that our life goes on forever and ever and ever. We're set free by whatever limitations and boundaries Earth gives us because we're designed for worship forever. We're also designed for service. We're designed to serve and share from our abundance and from all the things that we do along the way. And that comes at a price. Christ gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify himself, to purify for himself a people that are eager to do what's good. Karen had the kids down front, and she was talking to them about doing the right thing and what would happen if, Keller took a book from somebody else. What would that do for the relationship? You have a relationship with God. And God, like anybody else, likes to hear from you on a regular basis. God likes you to God likes you to walk the walk and spend your time doing work that helps other people and sharing the light and love of Jesus Christ with everybody that you come in contact with. Mm-hmm. On this 4th of July, it might be, and it's fitting that we're having communion. On the 4th of July, you not only need to renew your commitment to God and to live in an upright life, but it gives you the opportunity to celebrate the birth of a nation. It also gives you a license to do God's work. Because, a lot of times something will come up and you'll say, well, I don't have that degree, or I don't have that skill set, or somebody else might be able to do it better than me. Nobody can do it better than you.
That's right.
You've got a skill set that I don't have. You've got friends and relationships. You've got backgrounds that I don't have. And you can make an impact on folks. And it's a freedom that's built upon God and his commandments. So that God looks at us, and when you look at Jesus, you look at Jesus as the author and finisher of the faith. Mm-hmm. That gives you the freedom. That gives you the ultimate freedom. Our founding fathers in our country knew enough to know that in Jesus we'd find life, liberty, and true happiness.
Right.
And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get busy and we don't realize what we really have. I'll relay a story. There's a young lady, her name was Susan. And at 34, Susan became blind. She had a medical condition, lost her sight, and was thrust into the world of darkness. And she was married, and her husband's name was Mark, and Mark was in the Air Force. And he and Susan were childhood sweethearts and grew up and got married. And when she first lost her sight, Mark worked with her and was determined to help her regain her independence and confidence. And Susan got to the point where she thought she could return to her job, but she was worried because she used to take a bus to go to work. So Mark volunteered to drive her to work each day, even though they worked at opposite ends of the city. And as they went along, Mark continued to encourage her. And he got to the point where he said, I think you can take the bus again. And she said, I'm blind. How am I supposed to know where I'm going? I feel like you're abandoning me. And Mark was sad and it kind of broke his heart when she did that, but he said, I'll stay with you till I'm sure that you know what you're doing. So for 2 weeks, Mark accompanied Susan back and forth to work each day, taught her how to rely on her other senses, how to determine where she was. Finally, Susan decided she was ready to make the trip on her own. Monday morning alive, and she threw her arms around Mark and gave him a hug and said, okay, we're going to do this, and said goodbye, and they went their separate ways. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, each day went perfectly fine. Susan never felt better and felt like she was doing it all by herself. On Friday morning, Susan took the bus and got up on the bus, and as she was paying her fare, the bus driver said, boy, do I envy you. And Susan wasn't too sure what he was talking about, and she said, you envy me? And she said, why do you envy me? He says, it must feel good to be loved and cared for and protected like you do. And she said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, every day for the past week, a fine-looking man in a military uniform has been standing across the street. He watches you get on and off the bus. He makes sure you cross the street safely and waits until you enter the office building. Then he blows you a kiss and walks away. You're one lucky lady. And Susan had, you know, tears of happiness. But when you think about that, God's there doing that every day for you. Every day that you get up and you go and you talk to God, God watches over you and watches you where you go and watches you when you come back home.
Never leaves us.
And never leaves us. And he might even blow you a kiss. So today is communion. Today is the opportunity where we come together and share in the bread and the blood of Jesus Christ. That gives us an opportunity to renew our own commitment. So as we begin preparation for communion, if you turn to 769, that's a communion service call to worship. 769. I'll read the light part, y'all read the dark. 769. We have one Lord, one God, one Savior.
And the Holy Spirit makes Christ real to us, binding us more and to share in the God.
This is something we do eagerly.
Christ welcomes us here.
This is something we do seriously.
For this is the moment of greatest intimacy, when we taste the symbols of Body and blood of the risen Lord.
I was glad when they said to me,
let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen. If you turn to 776, we'll sing, Let Us Break Bread Together. 776.
Thank you.
all may be seated. When we do communion, we receive what's called the Deacon's Fund offering. The deacon do work out in the community anonymously. If you have folks that have a need along the way, let the deacons or myself know, and we'll try and reach out and help them with whatever assistance we can provide. This allows the deacons to do work, for a lot of folks haven't seen the light and love of Jesus Christ. The only face of Jesus Christ that they may see is your face or the work that the deacons do. So the deacons will now receive their offering. That you bless these gifts, that they would heal a hurt, fill a need, that they would be your face and your love generated through the opportunity to serve with these gifts and with the outreach. We ask, Father, that you lift the deacons up, that you bless them and help them to continue to do your work here and in the community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You turn to the back of your hymnal, you'll find the church covenant. We'll read this together. Reading, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and our profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God, in this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body of Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to sustain its worship, and promise to attend public worship faithfully, and promise to engage in whatever church work we are able to do. We will promote its prosperity and spirituality, contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of its ministry, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also pledge to maintain family and private devotions, the religious education of our children in the Christian faith, and will endeavor sincerely and earnestly to live as Christ taught his followers to live. When we leave this community, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. Amen. Join with me in prayer. Father, we ask that as we enter into communion with and fellowship with you, Father, that this would be a chance for renewal, a chance for expansion of our commitment to you, Father. We ask that on this third day of July, as we prepare to celebrate the anniversary of your nation, that we would proudly step forward to serve in whatever capacity you call us, that you would lift us up, that you would make us more than conquerors, that you would make us the warrior that we need to be, Father, the one that you wanted us to be for our life, that you guide us and help us with our walk, our speech, that we glorify you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Jesus and the disciples had met to celebrate Passover, the holiest of holy of all religious services that the Jews have. And I'm sure that like 4th of July weekend and other holidays, that they talked about Passover has gone by, that they talked about family members that had been there and now have gone home to be with God. They talked about all the different things that folks talk about when they gather together, reliving and sharing family experiences. And Jesus participates. And he participates to the point where everybody's leaned back and relaxing, and he gets up and he takes a towel and wraps the towel around his waist and gets a bowl of water and begins to wash their feet, and they don't understand. And he's preparing them for one of the last things he's going to teach them. He's going to give them the message, I came to be a servant Messiah. I came to serve, I came to serve, I came to serve, and I'm going to serve all the way through until the end. And then after he does that, he takes bread. He takes the simplest of the elements that was the foundation of all their diet, and he breaks the bread and says, this is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of your sins. An opportunity to share in the symbolism of Christ's broken body. Opportunity to share in fellowship with the communion service that Jesus himself gave us. We offer to you the bread. Thanks. Broken body of Christ, take, eat, and be exceptionally thankful. Likewise, Jesus took the cup and said, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It's always interesting to me that the Red Cross calls blood the gift of life. Jesus shed his blood so that we'd have the gift of life and have it for all eternity. We now share with you the cup. shed blood of Christ. Take, drink, and be very thankful. Scripture in Mark says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out. We'll sing 416, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory.
Amen.
If you have a prayer request, either come up front or stand up, and the deacons and I will move to you. And as we close this service, my wish for you is that you have a blessed and glorious 4th of July and the rest of the week, that you wouldn't limit it to the celebration of the independence of our country, that you'd celebrate your independence and your freedom and all that that comes with Christ.
Pastor, do we I think everybody's aware of it, but we all prayed for the 20 that died in Bangladesh, the two police officers. Just keep them in mind as we celebrate our liberty that we can gather here without
right. fear. Absolutely. All right.
I've seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his parables with sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory,
we service begins. We ask that you lift us up, that you make us more than we ever thought we could be, that we move forward each day knowing that our job is to be a blessing to somebody else. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.